All right, Amos chapter number 8. We're gonna look through this. Last week we were in Amos chapter number 7, and we talked about intercession and the importance of intercession and interceding for someone. And we also looked at how God basically told Amos to stop interceding for the nation of Israel, and because he wasn't going to pass. And we talked about the plumb line, different things. You can review that. But Amos chapter number 8, we're gonna pick up in verse number 1. And then I'll jump back into chapter 7 just a bit once we pray. But Amos chapter number 8, we're going to look at verse number 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more, and the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit? That we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer this morning, we'll get into this. Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for a beautiful day and just watching the sun come up this morning. And Lord, I thank you for another day of life that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be here at your house. And Lord, I do pray that above all today that you would be glorified, that you'd be honored in everything that's said. And Lord, give us a heart's desire to follow after you, to desire the things that you would have us to desire. And Father, I pray that you'd help the Sunday school classes that are meeting this morning. I pray that there would be a calm spirit among the young people. And Lord, thank you for this first Sunday of 2019, Lord, and just the people that were willing to give you the first Sunday of their year. And Lord, I pray that you just bless them. And Lord, I pray that you'd help my lips this morning. I pray that I would glorify you. If anyone's here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they would be saved and help Pastor Steve preach later on. And I pray that you just fill them with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to back up just a little bit, and we're going to review. In chapter number 7. There's kind of a parenthesis here. If you'll go to verse number 8 of chapter 7. So look at verse number 8, and we mentioned this last week. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Okay, so we have that verse. Now, jump down to the first or the second verse of Amos chapter number 8. And it goes right along with the 8th verse of chapter number 7. Bible says, and he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. So I believe, basically, you've got this, you know, there's a continuation here, okay? It's not, there's a section here, and I'm going to go back to this, but there's a section here in chapter number 7, verse number 10 through 17. There's a man that we're presented with called Amaziah. Amaziah is the man's name. And it's the priest of Bethel. Now remember, we've already talked about Bethel. Was Bethel the place of worship at this point? No. Bethel was the place of worship that Jeroboam had set up. So this was not the correct place of worship. So this is not really the priest of that God has set up. This is somebody that Jeroboam has set up. And Amaziah brings this accusation in the middle of Amos's message. Okay, there's almost a parenthesis right here. All right, so in the middle of this, Amaziah brings this accusation, and he says he's says he's conspiring against Israel and conspiring against Jeroboam. And I just wanted to mention, it's very dangerous, because if you look at the consequences that Amos proclaims on Amaziah for coming against the man of God, it's very dangerous to go against the man of God. And I didn't want you to think I was skipping that, but you can read that later. Verse number 17, therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. So there is a danger there, but that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. So in chapter number 8, where I'm going to draw your attention to is down at verse number 11. Down at verse number 11. The Bible says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And we're going to draw some applications out of this morning. But what I want to talk about this morning is, what do we hunger for? What do we hunger for? Because, a famine, what is a famine? It's a lack of food. That's what a famine is, okay? And we don't really experience famine, okay? Famine is almost a foreign concept to most Americans, okay? We've never been in a country where literally, your budget may be tight, and there may be months especially when you're a younger, I think most of you can remember back when you was a younger couple, and budgets are tight, and sometimes you don't have a pantry full, but you've still got some food, okay? The old peanut butter and jelly lasts a long time, all right? But you know what? It's not that there was a famine, okay? If you had the money, you could go out and buy food. The food was there. You may have not had it at your house, but it was there, okay? A famine is a totally different thing because the food's not even there. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Remember when Joseph was in the land of Egypt, remember who came to him? His brothers did. Why? Why did they come to him? Because of a famine in their land. And they had plenty of money. They had plenty of things that they could bring to buy corn. They just didn't have any in their own land. Okay? So a famine, it doesn't matter. I mean, if we had a famine in America today, it would be a scary thing, honestly. But if we had a famine in America today, it wouldn't matter how much money you have in your bank account. If there is no food to buy, you can't buy it. Okay? So that's kind of the degree that a famine actually is. But it's, a famine causes you to, when you don't have food, it causes you to do things that maybe you wouldn't normally do. Okay? And it causes you to hunger for things. Most people feed their flesh. And I'm going to get to all this because it's interesting what God says here. God's not going to have, there's not a famine of bread. There's not a famine of things to drink. Or a lack thereof of things to drink. Bible says there's a famine of the words of the Lord. There's a lack of the preaching. There's a lack of the teaching of the word of God. some people in the Bible, I'm going to give you some illustrations. Most people do whatever they have to do to feed their flesh. Think about that. You'll do whatever you have to do to feed your flesh. You'll go cold. People will go cold or turn the heat down in order to have money to buy food. You know, you're going to feed your flesh. Now, Americans, we feed our flesh more in one way. Whatever we want, whatever our flesh desires, that's what we feed. But, you know, you can get in big problems when you start to feed the flesh. I want you to think about this illustration. What about Abraham? Where did Abraham start to... Was when Abraham went down to Egypt because of the famine, was that God's will for Abraham? No. God didn't want him to go to there. What about Elimelech? Well, who's Elimelech? All right. Remember Ruth in the Bible? Elimelech was Ruth's father-in-law. And they went to another land because of a famine. And because of that, Elimelech died and his two sons died. All right. Just because there's a famine, all right, doesn't mean that you know, because you desire to feed your flesh, sometimes we do things that we wouldn't normally do because we have that desire. How powerful is this desire? How powerful is the thing of hunger or the thing of thirst? All right, I want to take you to a couple different illustrations. Go to 2 Samuel. I love this story for more ways than one. But 2 Samuel chapter number 23. How powerful is this thing of thirst, or how powerful is this thing of hunger? In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we're given a very short picture here, a story, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 14. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. So we have here the setting, the plot, if you would. David is in a hold, or basically a fort or a fortress. More likely, it wasn't like a built fortress. It was more of a natural fortress, okay? High rocks or caves or whatever. So he was there, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Now, when it talks about a garrison, it's not talking about five soldiers, okay? It's talking about Bethlehem is occupied by the Philistines, by the garrison of the Philistines. That's basically their hub at this point, okay? And David says something here, verse number 15, and David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Now, here's a man that's thirsty. Did he have water? I'm sure he did. Okay, it's a military operation. They've got water. But for some reason, David said, "I really want the water of Bethlehem." Now, there is a problem here because Bethlehem is now occupied by the Philistines. All right? And David wants a drink of water from Bethlehem, okay? And that's what he wants. And I think he was just sitting there one day, maybe with some of his guys, and, you know, he's got that, it's kind of like when you get some of you like coffee a lot, and, you know, my father-in-law, we were over there for Christmas, and I'll drink a little bit of coffee in the morning, and it's mostly sugar and creamer. It's not much coffee. But I'll drink a little bit in the morning. But I'm not, once I do it in the morning, I'm done. And there's some people, some of you may, you drink it all day long. And in the middle, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's like, "Man, I really want some coffee." Well, it was just that statement. It was kind of like that. And it was kind of like, you know, you say, "Man, I really want something." Just, it kind of hits your taste buds. You want that. And he said that, and almost a flippantly, you know, and three of his men, all right, and the three, verse 16, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Now, I love this story because I got an overactive imagination. I can see this, okay? You've got three of the most elite warriors in Israel that hear somebody that their leader, somebody that they love, say, I just wish I had a drink of that water. And these guys are like, hey, when nobody's looking, we're going to sneak out of camp and we're going to go get him that drink. And now I want to just pull a real quick truth from this. You know, I think it's important. You know, if pastor expresses something that, man, I really want something. You know, I think it's a good thing that we do what we can to get that for him. I do. I think that's, you know, it shows your love. All right? What did this show? Was this a bravado thing with these guys? No, I don't think so. We're going to do this just to show that we can. No, I don't think it was. I think they did it because they loved David. Honestly, why else would you risk your life for a drink of water when you've got water right there? Okay? I think they did it because they're expressing their love. Okay? And the three mighty men break through the host. Okay? So now I can see it. You've got, you know, a garrison of Philistines. And you got these three guys walking up. Now, I can almost think what the Philistines are thinking. Okay, these three guys are coming to spy out. These three guys are coming to, you know, bring tidings of whatever. And so they're challenged right at the gate. What are you guys doing here? It doesn't matter. It's none of your business. That's my personal, I think, what they probably did. And so, you know, at this point, the Philistines are like, wait, what are these guys doing? So they start drawing their swords and whatever, and these guys just go to town. I mean, start whacking people all over the place, and they're fighting their way to this well. And at this point, the Philistines, I think, have sounded an alarm that this is not a friendly, you know, ambassador mission. And so they're fighting their way all the way to this well, and by this time, I mean, it's not a small thing. The Bible says they break through the host. Okay, they broke through. So they're fighting all the way to the well. Two guys are standing there and they're like, hey, you draw the water and we'll hold off everybody. Now, it's one thing to get into the enemy territory. It's a whole nother thing getting back out. Okay, so they're not only, you know, now one guy's got this jug or this thing he's trying to keep water in at this point. And he's trying to fight his way back out along with the other two. And they finally get out and they come sauntering back into camp. All right. And they've got this bag. It was probably some kind of water bag. They didn't have bottles. They didn't have can. It was probably either a clay vessel or a bag, a skin that had water in it. And they come back to camp. I don't think they probably went to battle and came out unscathed. Okay. They're probably cutting cuts and bruises, but these guys just broke through the host of the Philistines, came back out, and they've got what the man that they love, something that he desired. And they come back to him, and they say, hey, we got you a gift. And David looks at him, and they're covered. He's not stupid. He knows where this came from. And he knows he is a fighting man, and he knows the effort that went into getting that. And let me just give you another. You know what I said earlier? It's important for people to give to the person that they love. But you know also, I believe that this tied his heart even closer. You see what he said here? He wouldn't even drink the water. It was so safe. It meant so much to him. Well, why wouldn't you drink the water? They gave it to you. It meant so much to him that it was sacred water to him. That's how much it meant to him. And these three men, for the rest of their lives, there was always in the back of his mind, he sacrificed his life and his well-being just to get me a drink of water. But you say, Brother Chad, what does that got to do with the lesson? You see how much thirst can drive somebody? I mean, these three guys risked their life for a drink because he wanted a drink. Okay? Go to Psalms chapter 42. Excuse me, I have to bear with my voice. I'm slowly getting over it, but it's that stage when everything kind of breaks up. Psalm chapter number 42. We'll come back to this, I believe. Psalm chapter 42. Verse number 1. The Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God. I'm giving you another illustration here as the heart. And what is a heart? It's basically a deer, okay? As a heart panteth after the water brooks. Now, panteth is a little different than is just thirsty, okay? Everybody's seen animals. I've watched deer before that are being chased by dogs. I've been in the woods and I've seen deer being chased by dogs, okay? Now, a deer's an amazing animal. Brother Luke Morris, he just shot a deer on, I don't remember what day, Thursday, I think. And he blew the whole top of his heart off. I mean, just perfect shot. And the deer still ran 20 yards after its heart was gone, okay? They're an amazing animal. But a deer, honestly, is a very short, they're short sprinters, okay? They're not a marathon type animal. They can only run fast. I mean, they're very fast, but they can only run that so long, okay? And then they stop. And you can always count on them. They're going to stop. But if a dog or something's chasing that, the dog can outrun a deer, okay? They've got more stamina. They can just keep running and running and running. It's that constant dog. You ever heard that they're dogging them, okay? What is that? They're just behind them all the time. Every time that deer looks back, that dog's behind him, okay? And so this deer, at some point, they get to the place where they start panting, all right? They start panting. They're not, you know, a dog, you see a dog pant, but God designed a dog to pant, okay? Deer aren't really designed, they're not really, the way God created them, they're not designed to pant, okay? So when a deer gets really, really hot, it's going to go to water. We've had a disease here, it's called different things, but blue tongue is one of the names that they call it. But you'll find deer, when they've got this disease, a lot of times you'll find them at water, and that's where they finally end up dying. But what it is they feel so hot, they're running a fever, is basically what they're doing from what I've heard. And they go to the water to cool off, and they'll find them, I mean, guys have found them floating in the water. They'll get in the water to try to cool off, and they'll die in the water, all right? That's how close to death they are at that point. But this deer here is panting after the water brooks. He's panting. He's desperate for water. He's got to have water to cool off, okay? And that's the severity of this for this deer. But then David says something, "So panteth my soul after thee, O God." And this is going to bring us into what I'm going to talk about this morning. What do we hunger for? You know, the Bible says there's going to be a famine in the land, not of bread, nor of water, but of the words of the Lord. And what is that? It's an extreme hunger, all right? It's maybe a hunger, but there is not. Remember, hunger and famine are completely two different things. Famine is when you're hungry and there is nothing, all right? If any of you are hungry right now, I guarantee it, you can go home or you can go someplace and you can get something to eat. With a famine, remember, there is none of that, okay? So Amos is talking about a famine of the words of the Lord. But what do we hunger for? You know, we satisfy our flesh so much. We give our flesh whatever we want. If we want to watch something on TV, we watch it. If we want to go buy something, we buy it. We never tell ourselves no. You know, and that's a good habit to get into. And I'm not even saying it's something that you have to do as far as, you know, a bad thing. All right? Now, there are bad habits. I think you all agree with me on that. There are bad habits that you should just tell yourself no. But there's sometimes in life that you should just tell yourself no just for the sake of telling yourself no. Man, I really want that to drink. You know, it doesn't hurt you to tell yourself, no, you don't need that. I haven't drank pop for about 2 years now, any kind of pop for about 2 years. Now, is there anything sinful about pop, soda? I don't really think so. And you know what? I rather like it. My flesh likes it. But to me, that's a practice. I've just kind of gotten into it. And I'm not saying I would never in the future drink something. It's not like I have a conviction against it. For me, what that is because I want a Mountain Dew a lot of times, okay? My flesh wants that. But it's just something that I just say, no, you can't have that. Okay? But we give our flesh everything it wants. Okay? What was, we talked about Abraham. Abraham going to the land where there was plenty so he could feed his flesh. You know another problem that Abraham had? It was the problem with his flesh. You know who Ishmael was a result of? A fleshly decision. Feeding the flesh. Okay? God had promised Abraham a son through who? Sarah. Not Hagar. And God had promised. That was the spiritual line. But because of Abraham's flesh, and I got to have it, I want my son right now. I'm getting old. I want my son now. So he married Hagar, or was given to, Hagar was given to wife, or however all that worked. All right, I don't know. But they had a son named Ishmael. And because of a man's decision to feed his flesh, when a spiritual thing was already promised, we still see the results of that today. Isaac and his seed are still fighting Ishmael and his seed. They're still fighting. Because of one man's decision, I'm going to feed my flesh instead of waiting for the spiritual thing to come. All right? So it's important that we make sure that we hunger for the right things. What should we hunger for? Well, Psalm chapter number 42 basically gives us what we should desire. So panteth, verse number 1, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What should we hunger for? We should hunger for God. We should hunger for God. Let's go to Psalms. You're in Psalms. Go to Psalms chapter number, 63. Psalms chapter 63. Verse number 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Hey, there is no water right here, according to David. But he doesn't want the water. Who does he want? He wants God. His heart is pursuing after, like a deer running after the water. I'm going after that. I want that. I need that. It's not just a want. It's a need at that point. Okay? And so we see that. Psalms chapter number 84. Psalms chapter 84. Look at verse number 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You know, what are you saying, Brother Chad, this morning? I'm just saying, what is your desire? Do you desire the things of this world, or do you desire the things of God? All right? Bible says in 84:2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the what? Courts of the Lord. You know what that's talking about? The assembly. You know, can you just skip church and be like, and it doesn't affect you? Well, I forgot today was Sunday. You forgot today was Sunday? Okay, I forget a lot of days of the week, but I don't know if I've ever forgot that it was Sunday. Why? Because Sunday, my life kind of centers around Sunday. Everything at church, and listen, well, Brother Chad, you work here. Okay, that's fine. But everything in my life centers around, I don't think even if I didn't work here, my life, the activities of the courts of the Lord dictate the rest of my week. Okay? And so where does your heart? Well, I can't because of, okay, then that's what your heart's pursuing. For where your heart is, there will your... Did I get that backward? For where your treasure is, there will... Yeah, sorry. I got that backwards. Same principle. You know what I mean? Anyway, sorry. Pursuing after God. I just messed that way up. All right, Psalms 143. Psalms 143, look at verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. What do you want? Is it all about fulfilling the needs of the flesh? Or at some point does your soul, your spirit, need something that more than... What is fasting? In a nutshell, you know what fasting is? It's denying your flesh in order to gain something spiritual. That's what fasting is. Because when your flesh is weak, your spirit is strong. If your flesh is strong, your spirit is weak. That's a principle of the Bible. Okay, there's nothing new to folks in here, but that's a principle. You know, if you struggle spiritually, it's because you're feeding your flesh too much. That's what the Bible teaches. All right, but Brother Chad, does it really give you what you want? Does it really satisfy? All right, well, let's see. Let's go to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And I think you would find if you would give God a chance and you would thirst after God and strive to follow God. You know, we've got some teenagers right now, and I use them a lot because I know I deal with them more. We've got teenagers right now that I believe, honestly, which is amazing for a teenager, they do thirst after God. They want to serve God. And you know what that does? It puts a lot of the flesh, the things that people have problems with the flesh. If you want, you know how you kick a bad habit? I should start an AA program, all right? You know how you kick a bad habit? You want something more than you want the bad habit. That's how you kick it, okay? Well, I've quit 7 times and I just keep doing it again because you haven't wanted something else more than you want whatever it is. When you want something else more than you want that, you'll kick it. It's just you don't, or we don't, I don't. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Aren't we supposed to be hungering after God? That's what David said. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Brother Chan, and this is recorded several times in the Bible, how did Jesus spend, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness without anything to eat? I don't know. Maybe it's because he was feeding spiritually and it sustained his flesh, all right? It sustained his flesh, all right? Just a thought. But Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. A lot of people live a life, they're unfulfilled in life. I just feel unfulfilled. They're going through a midlife crisis. All right? Which, whatever that is, I don't know. But it's a crisis, I'm sure. But what is that? They're unfulfilled. They're living their life unfulfilled. And Jesus said, if you'll come after me, I'll give you everything that you need. I'll give you everything that you need. All right? Go to John chapter number 4. Stay in John 5. Are you in 6, I mean? Are you in John 6? All right, stay there. I about forgot a place. Look at verse number 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. What? What's that talking about? It's not talking about physically, okay? We don't teach, substitutionary, what is that the Catholics teach or whatever? Substitution something, I think. They basically believe that when you start drinking the grape juice, it turns into Jesus' blood. I don't believe that, okay? It's grape juice, all right? But what is he talking about here? He's talking about what we're talking about this morning. What do you desire? What do you desire? The things of the world or the things of God? Verse 54, Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, shall even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, some of you, if you don't have spiritual discernment, your thoughts about this are the same as most of these other people. All right, look down at verse number 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" What is he talking about? All right? That is, we're not cannibals here, okay? That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the bread of life, the things that God gives you spiritually to sustain you, all right? John chapter 4, flip back there. John chapter 4, we're given the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan woman is coming to the well and drawing water. And Jesus comes and we have this discourse here. And verse number 10, the Bible says, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." She still doesn't understand. She says, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." The water from the well. That's what he's talking about right there. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You know, a lot of people, "I just don't feel like I've done anything. I've got this unfulfilled." You know what the problem is? A lot of people aren't saved. They're just not saved. That's the long and short of it. All right? What did Jesus said? "I will be unto him a well of" what kind of water? All right? Look at it. "Well of water springing up." You know what springing up is? It's not a stagnant pool. It's not. Some Christians that look like stagnant pools, you can't judge. Everybody's like, I'm not going to go into my judging thing again. But everybody's like, "Well, you just can't judge somebody's salvation." Excuse me. But I know the difference between the stagnant pond on my property and a springing well. Okay? A springing well is basically a geyser. All right? Something that's producing clear water. Not murky water. Something that's alive. Something that's moving. When I see dead water, it's kind of a picture of a dead Christian. All right? What are you doing with your life? All right? "Well, I'm not doing anything. I don't have any life." Then do you have the same Jesus I have? Because Jesus said he'll be a well of springing water. Springing up. A well of water springing up. All right? Jesus satisfies. God satisfies. God gives you the power to do other things. Lastly, Brother Chad, is there any, it sounds all good. Is there any consequences? Yeah, it costs you something. You know, anytime you're really hungry, you're willing to pay for it. You are. Jacob was willing to pay for it. All right. Joseph, he was on the other end, but all those people that bought food, you know how many people sold every bit of their land in order to get food? That's how Joseph was a businessman, and that's how he had it set up. He said, "If you want food, sell me your land." Pretty good deal. All right. Siege of Samaria. The siege of Samaria. We won't go into Esau. Esau was hungry and he sold his birthright. You know, thirsting after God, hungering after God, it will cost you. It's not just a freebie. It's going to cost you because you're going to drive after it. You want it. If you're hungry enough, you will pay. If you're hungry enough, you will pay. What do you hunger for? You know, America is becoming a land of famine in the teaching of God's word. That's what Amos is kind of saying here. But how far would you go? I talked to people. And we got to be done. We got people waiting. But I've talked to people down at Freelandville. We've stretched our boundaries as far as visitation farther than we ever have. Elnora, Well, I've talked to people and they'll, why would I go there? You're willing to pay for something that's good, all right? And what is Jesus to you? Is he that well of springing water, all right? Do you hunger after God? Do you thirst after God? Or are you dead inside? Are you dead inside? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson from Amos. Lord, there is a famine in our land. But God, I pray, Lord, that Blessed Hope Baptist Church would be a place of water, would be a place of nourishment. And Lord, thank you for our pastor and the pastors that we've had keeping that this way. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us this morning. Pray that you'd help the service to follow. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.